one question that came up, and I remember it quite strongly.
In Taiwan?
Yes, in Taiwan, was about, Ajahn, about this aspect of right effort. And people find it very difficult to see who makes the effort. And I sympathized with Jonathan and Sarah. They did a really good job, I thought, to explain to people, but people somehow think that what do you do if it's all up to conditions? Or they were confused. They felt that who makes... Yes, they found it difficult to understand that aspect of the Dhamma, that there's nobody who makes an effort. So perhaps that would be one area I'd like to hear from you, Ajahn. One question also that someone asked was that because the Buddha is all wise, all-knowing, as much as can be known, people felt it hard to understand how come he doesn't have wisdom all the time. Some people believe that because he's Samma Sambuddho, he has wisdom all the time. And we know through Mahakiriyachittas that sometimes wisdom does not arise. So people found it that hard to understand. So perhaps the first question I would like to ask is, what is correct effort? What is Samma Wayamo? Can you speak a little bit about Samma Wayamo and the development of understanding without the idea of self? How can that be done?
About Samma Wayamo, is it real?
Yes, of course.
And is it I?
No, it cannot be I.
Yeah. Ask them whether they can have time to think about it over and over and can see that actually there's no one at all. Otherwise, how much we tell them, they don't get it yet because they don't really understand each word as it is. For example, Samma Wayamo is not seeing. So, out of the two, or which one is the self or the I? Which one? Seeing and Wayamo.
Yes, neither of them myself.
But from their view, they thought that it's very difficult to understand that there is no self.
Yes.
Let us ask them, just one word at a time,
yes,
about whether seeing is self or hearing self or thinking self. They're different. Which one or everyone? But if they don't arise at all, how can there be I with Wayama or seeing and so on? I think that the best thing is not telling them anything at all. Let them think. If they can think out, it's their own understanding. If we say that this is this, they think that it's our own understanding. Let them think. The best thing, just one word at a time, no matter what.
So, Ajahn, that's why you always bring back to seeing now. Because if there's any understanding about any Dhamma, it has to start from now.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're talking about Vayamo, we're talking about effort, right effort. To understand right effort as being a Dhamma, it has to start from whatever appears now.
Mm-hmm.
If there's understanding that seeing is not is a Dhamma, not self, then of course there would be no doubt about Vayamo as being Dhamma, mm-hmm, you know, no self.
But let them think.
I suppose, Ajahn, I'm sympathetic for them in a way because self is so strong, or ignorance is so strong.
So the best thing is ask them to think about it.
And then, okay, what kind of question would you be inclined to ask them? Any question.
Like which one is self?
Which one?
Is seeing I and then hearing I?
Yes.
And
yes.
What about seeing which has gone? And
yes.
Where's the eye?
Yes.
Which sees anymore?
You can see from the way they question that they're still coming from self. When they ask if if it's all up to conditions, already in that is implicit that they're thinking about someone leaving things up to conditions. Right?
Yes.
That question is based on that misunderstanding, that up to conditions means we have to leave everything up to condition, but there's still a we. They don't understand that even now, whatever appears now, the seeing now, is reality. And if you understand that conditions means the seeing now has arisen with, by conditions and no self, then it's easy to understand that any reality is like that.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying, Khunsu Khin, and of course I agree with you. I'm still sympathetic towards them because I know that this area is difficult because people are so used to thinking in terms of somebody who can do something or should do something. Like another question that was asked was, well, what about chanda? What about kusala chanda? Surely that must mean that right aspiration must be made.
See again,
yeah, I know.
It's they're thinking about themselves, their practice, their distinct, and trying to find justification for it. First, they by way of saying, questioning, if it's all up to conditions, then how will anything develop? Then next they're trying to say, oh, then if it's not, what about my effort? Maybe that's chanda, right?
Yes.
Maybe what I'm trying is
kusala,
not motivated by ignorance and attachment, but by kusala chanda. So it's still thinking in terms of self. So they're not trying to understand Dhamma. They're just thinking about their own situation and caught up in the story. And trying to, and ending up hearing the Buddha's teachings and trying to make it fit into their beliefs.
Yes. Of course, yes, I totally agree. And that still, I'm appreciating what Tanajan is saying, that it's important to consider carefully so that you can understand the different conditions more clearly, and there really is nobody, but because they are trying to understand from a point of view of self, because that's the only mechanism they know.
Yes.
Therefore, it seems very difficult, and sometimes very difficult to help. And I think great patience is needed. John, perhaps I could ask you a question that was talked about. Nina and I talked about it, shared it with a friend, and the question was asked about if Sammasambuddha, how come he does not have wisdom all the time?
Okay. What about now?
Now, yes.
Do we see all the time?
No.
So, the same as Buddha by conditions.
Sometimes he sees. Hearing.
Yeah, it means that this is meant usually as all the time, but in details like with Dhamma,
yes.
It's not all the time.
No, of course.
But when we talk about all the time, we talk about that which is known like this.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course that's true. That's a good example again. It's very obvious that he must see and hear and think as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. At the moment, though, of thinking.
That is his teaching about what he has enlightened, not every moment.
No.
But we can use it all the time, as long as it's there, like now, seeing all the time. But actually he thought in details much more than this, to be learnt, to understand each word.
And Achan, also when kusala arises, and for arahats will be kriya, sobhana, chitta and chetasika arises to perform their functions, such as moments of kindness, moments of compassion, moments of generosity or moments of upekha. At that moment, it's the object is a concept, and wisdom can come next moment to know that. So at that moment itself, no wisdom. It's just kusla or sobhana chetasika without wisdom also. That must also arise for a Buddha.
That's why, not just understanding from the book, but there must be understanding the moment so that we can understand clearly, directly about just one reality by sati, which is developed to that degree. Otherwise, who can talk whether now it is sadda or chanda, see, without sati, just from the book, that what is the moment of sadda and what is the moment of chanda. It depends on the degree of understanding which develops from hearing, considering, and know that just learn about this reality, it doesn't mean that we know all of them as the self. The self hears and the self thinks and the self have the seen the value, the benefit of understanding, but it actually there is no self at all. Even at that moment, all are dhammas. If they have such firm foundation about all reality can be understood as it is, little by little. They'll see from the beginning they have firm understanding there's no self, but there are different realities. Which one is self? The eye, the ear, arm. See, we cannot find the self because the eye is the eye.
Well, look, of course, Ajahn, I appreciate what you say. I'm just sympathetic, shall I say, mostly with the kusla when I consider it carefully, that people, because that's what everybody else teaches in Taiwan or no doubt Thailand, you know, or Australia or New Zealand or wherever, they're teaching this idea, which is very insidious or very treacherous, so it's not easy for people to, because they're not the right friends around, they're telling them
they used to follow, not to think.
Yes, that's right, that's a really good point, Ajahn. Such a good point. Yeah, they used to.
But Ajahn, regardless of where each person comes, isn't it important that when they hear the Dhamma, I mean, as we have heard from you, at that moment, if they have the accumulations, then you cannot, it's no point talking about past practice and if they've been misled or anything. Because misleading, there's no misleading without the person who is misled, right? So it's our own wrong view which is at fault. So even after hearing the Dhamma and we still don't understand, then it's our own wrong view, wrong understanding and ignorance.
I think that Ajahn just raised a really good point though, that people are being told what to do. They're not enabled to consider carefully. So a good teacher will always help people to consider carefully and to ask the right questions, rather than just telling people what to do, which is, you know, quite a common thing that people just follow. They don't consider carefully, they just follow, and we can see that's not helpful, and how important it is for the Dhamma to consider carefully and to ask questions. A question that I've got, Ajahn, I've got a couple, I'm trying to remember the other one, but the first question is with regarding Pasada Rupa. So when does that arise? Like, there is the moment of seeing, and so therefore the Pasada Rupa must have arisen, but does it rise with the object or after the object?
Okay. What condition the eye bears? You are asking about eye bears.
Yes, I'm asking about the Pasada. So what conditions that? That's a good question.
See, if we don't think at all, we just follow what
yes,
it said.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What conditions that will, what conditions I base, past karma must be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Not part.
Yes, it is.
all of it, is it?
Yeah.
All right, past karma.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so at what point does that arise? It must arise before the object, is it?
Yes.
Pure jata, it must be.
It arises at moment when citta arises, and at moment when citta hasn't fallen away yet, and even at moment of falling away, three moments, karma condition the eye base each moment.
Sundra is asking, does it arise before seeing consciousness?
It does matter if it doesn't arise yet. How can this patsa?
It has to arise before.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that it has to arise before.
So therefore we can say it's pure jata pachya.
Yeah. And what we didn't say yet, let them think about it by themselves. Yeah.
Yes.
So studying the teachings of the Buddha need considering so much to really understand little by little about it. For example, pasatrupa is conditioned by karma. What about at moment of falling, being asleep? Is there pasatrupa arising?
No.
Why not? See?
Yes.
Yeah. When there is thinking.
Each anukana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, each momentary citta. Each citta. The thing is that it arises and then it depends on contact. What? To which doorway?
That's why we ask to know whether it's firm understanding enough or not. Or just follow and say yes and think that it has to be like that. But when it's asked different question, it's the time to understand whether that person understand or not yet clearly.
So can you speak more to that, Ajahn, because I'm not understanding that, because if there is not visual object when, for example, when I'm sleeping,
mm-hmm.
then it would seem that there is no pasada rupa arising.
You think?
Yeah, I know.
Not follow
the
teachings. Because Buddha said each moment, each the, what you call, the little, the beginning, the arising and before falling away, and the moment when it falls away. One citta, each minor karma condition citta. Sustaining.
Each
one.
If it wasn't that way, then it would lean towards what you were suggesting earlier, that karma and something. When it's only karma, you can understand that it whole life from birth to death. Pasada rupas are being conditioned. Because if it's not like that, then you're saying that, oh, after we wake up, then it conditions, then there must be some other condition also.
The wake up condition.
No matter who, no matter when, karma condition, rupa to arise. And we cannot count how much, so we use the citta. The moment it arises, there is karma charupa. At moment of titi, there must be karma charupa. At moment of even bangka, there must be pasat rupa. And all karma condition, all rupa which is conditioned by karma, all, not only eye base.
So Ajahn, we say that is one difference between a dead body and a living body.
Right. That's why all karma charupa stop rising before death 17 moments. So all karma charupa does not arise at moment of death or 17 moments before that. Kammacharupa. But Chittacharupa, a little bit more, that which arises with this consciousness still gone until 17 moments. That's why somebody look at the corpse, the dead body, and see their smiling face or something like that. But Chittacharupa before this. But it's much more details than that.
Yes. I can, just listening to it, Ginajan, I can appreciate how Dhamma is so finely tuned.
Until it's your own understanding. Yes. Otherwise it's useless, yes. Because it's Buddha's understanding.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I can appreciate how harmful, how dangerous ignorance is.
So,
I mean, even after hearing so much, we keep listening and still so much ignorance.
So if one still thinks that they can do anything, they forget about all dhammas are anatta. This is a truth which must be followed, developing until it can experience directly the moment when it's not self.
Yeah, Kun Jonathan raised a good point. I was asking him a question. I can't remember, I'm trying to remember what it was now. But he said that dhammas are not known conventionally. They're known by wisdom. And I found that quite helpful too. It's like
that's very good.
Yeah, people try to understand Dhamma by thinking about it.
By themselves?
Yes, by themselves. And of course, that will not enable the development of understanding. Yeah, I just found that point when he said dhammas cannot be known conventionally. Mm. They're known by wisdom. Mm.
Although, when it's pariyatti, it requires thinking.
Yes.
But it's not, we wouldn't consider that conventional.
No.
But although it's just thinking, it's not thinking in words. It's known with the help of thinking. Mm. And then we start thinking in words. Then you can say it is conventional at that point, but it's not, the moment of understanding is not conventional.
So there are many degrees or 3 degrees of wisdom.
Yes.
Pariyatti, Patipatti, yes. And Pativeda.
And which can we also can say Satchinyana, Kichinyana and Katanyana, yeah. Kind of the same thing.
Yes, now there is firm belief or understanding that there actually no self at all. Firm enough?
Not yet.
Acharya, each time you ask that, it has to be no. Answer has to be no. Because I'm appreciating how, with so little pandya, how can it be firm? It cannot.
But when there is understanding about anatta, see, why do we listen to the teachings? Because if there is no understanding from his word, there must be the self. But from his very sharp and intelligent and clear teachings, then it begins to develop to be much more than just hearing, because this can be known. This can be directly understood, and this can be just enlightened. No doubt about each word he said, for example, what arises falls away, see? If it cannot be known directly, it's useless to say and to learn about it. But we have the belief, understanding, firm confidence that is now, which appear is arisen and fallen away immediately. Just arise to perform its function, only that, and then no more.
So, Chan, when you say firm, you actually refer to beginning level of satyayana.
Because you see that all are satya, vajja of the Buddha, and whether it is jnana or not yet. So when it's panya, of what degree? When it's degree of intellectual understanding, it's different from patipatti, for sure. And at moment of being the patipatti, it's not the pattiveda yet. So we know the difference. But as long as that hasn't arisen yet, it's impossible to think about it beyond thinking.
But Ajahn, I'm also thinking that there is still a lot of wrong view.
And yes, is it a Dhamma? Is it a Dhamma? So Panya has to know.
But it does not know. Very as often long, it does not know.
As long as it's not known, it's not the patriyati.
When so, it's not known.
So the Thai used the word pariyati, but the meaning of pariyati is propru. All everything that Buddha said being understood clearly, firmly.
Everything.
Now see, what is that? If we don't think about the name, we do not think about it. But understand that it's that which appears.
So maybe at pariyati level, it's different from patipati level, because I'm thinking mostly that in a day, there's a lot of wrong view arising, mistaking akusla for kusla, and there's no direct knowing. But when asked, when reflecting on it, then we know that yeah, it is wrong. Lobha is wrong. But when the lobha arises, that there's often there's this belief that the lobha is good.
I don't think that one has the idea that lobha is good.
Not like that. Let me take the example of in my own case, that for example, I'm very attached to my son Haji, and more often than not, I think when I go and express my feelings to him, it's a good thing. So that seems to imply that I'm not seeing that lobha is harmful.
When there's no understanding of the truth.
So an example of mistaking what is akusla for.
That's why, what level of understanding can eradicate that?
Oh, that's very hard.
See, so it has to be just like this.
Okay.
Yeah, but panya can understand anything. By condition, not by selection.
I'm thinking also, like, when one smiles, there can be kusala involved, and panya can know that. So, and people might think that's always just lobha, but it can be kusala.
Of
course. So I guess I'm thinking in the case of yourself with Haji there, when you're talking about some things, yes, it would seem to me,
you don't
think, okay, right, I see. Okay, but,
because I know.
Because you're saying the attachment is so strong.
I'll just give you another example. When I reflect on the fact that it's attachment, and it's different if it was metta,
mm-hmm.
then I can see at that moment, intellectually, I appreciate that the lobha is
attached,
whereas metta is a wholesome, and it's better for him if there was metta than attachment.
For him also,
in the sense.
I think that he needs lobha from you. Would he like to have you change?
No. I'm saying if my actions done with metta would be better than actions done with lobha.
But who knows? Haji cannot know.
Haji cannot know that. It's not. I'm not saying in the sense of knowing. I'm saying in the sense of
appreciate
things working out in life. If I have moments of metta, then I'm not going to behave towards him for my benefit. It's for his benefit. That's what I mean.
But Doesn't he want you to behave the way that
That I know,
he
like
likes.
Everyone, like me. I want Lopa, I want, and he also wants Lopa, because of we have less understanding, we have a lot of ignorance and attachment. That I understand. So I can reflect that metta is good and Lopa is not.
But see, you want someone to care for you, it means that they want love or attachment from the other.
That also can mm-hmm. be. So what you're saying, Achan, is that sometimes you want to show attachment out of metta, because you know that's what he wants. Is that what you're saying?
I mean that everyone just wants the other to care or to love.
Yes.
So
he likes me to hug him. He likes me to. Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that. But I know that.
But when he's wise enough, he doesn't want you to have lopa. He would like you
prefer
have metta.
Yes. For my sake also.
And for
his
him.
Sake also. Yes. Yes.
All depends on understanding.
It seems that it's, in my way of thinking, it's easier to have metta towards a stranger than it is towards people I know. Often in the street, you know, I might catch someone's eyes and it's just very easy to smile, and sometimes a smile back or sometimes nothing. That
habit.
Just seems really...
Because of habit. If I have attachment towards Haji, each time I hear his voice, it's attachment. Each time I see his face, it's attachment, automatically. Right? So when you meet a stranger, there's not that automatic reaction, you know, the conditioned habit. So that may be maybe a moment of reflection. But this moment I hear his voice, instead of thinking about Dhamma, it's attachment.
There was an old cat just as I came outside where I stay. There's this really dirty old cat with all, you know, the hairs coming off. So I stopped and I said to the cat, "What did you do to get like this?" And I bent down and I went like this under his neck, and he relaxed and went, "Ah, ah." And I was very surprised because he had big sharp teeth, and I, just an old cat, stray cat, I thought I better be careful, maybe it will bite me. But it really enjoyed what I was doing. So I don't know, maybe then it became attachment because I'd won over the cat.
You don't know when.
I don't know.
Achan, before you arrived, you were talking about even just blinking the eyes, we all do it with attachment. And that's because there's so much attachment, and every moment, everything is automatically, it's the chance for attachment to come, to be attached. Anything, it's by habit, and because there's so much of it. So, in a day, really, Kusla is so little.
Very difficult. Without understanding, it cannot develop.
I mean, all we can say is that we are thankful to have heard the truth. Otherwise, it's just not only more attachment and aversion and ignorance, but as human beings, a lot of wrong understanding.
So it's impossible to go to the meditation center and think that can be enlightened or have less akusa. It brings more and more attachment. That's why no matter who doesn't want to hear it, but we have to say it, because it's the words of the Buddha. To save them from wrong understanding.
And that actually shows our own firmness. If we hesitate to speak the truth, that why? Because we're not...
Right. He has right understanding. Yeah.
I didn't follow it.
No, if we hesitate to speak the truth, then it must be our akusla.
I don't know. Is that always the case? I think sometimes
it's not the right time.
Yeah, maybe not the right time. Or
we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
We
talk
about
time to speak. We don't talk about that, but we talk about when it's time to speak, and then you don't.
Sure. Just before, Ajahn, you were talking about firmness of understanding with regard to Satchinyana. And so there must be different levels of firmness.
Okay. Okay. When there's firm understanding that what appears now can be directly enlightened. It's so firm that you don't go anywhere else. As long as there's no understanding of this moment, why go to the other? It doesn't bring any understanding at all.
That's firm. Yes.
But also, firm can be many levels, isn't it? As a term, sometimes we hear the Dhamma and we know it's the truth. That's also one level of firmness, isn't it?
Never change from the truth.
Because there are people who not interested.
Or listen to everything and believe in all teachings.
Yes, some people have this idea that all paths go to the same place. I've heard that not uncommon.
That sure is not true.
not
at all.
Because there's only one way.
Can we also say that the level of firmness depends on the level of understanding? The more understanding one has, the firmer it is.
And firmness depends on sattha? Is it a
depends on panya.
And what I mean to say, it is an expression of sattha.
Many realities.
Many realities.
Yeah. So when there's not enough understanding, it's not as firm as when there's understanding. Kunsukin, what did I say?
I think you said when there's not enough understanding, that's not enough firmness. Is that what you said?
Not as firm as when
firm,
there is
yeah.
understanding.
And that's very, very, very momentary. Like there might be a moment of sadha for the teaching, knowing that this is right, this is the right way, but it changes really quickly.
But can we also talk about firmness in terms of accumulations?
Yeah. Because you cannot have firm understanding from the very beginning. It develops with understanding. On and on.
So, Sariputta was the most firm after the Buddha. When he heard just one word and he got enlightened, it was already firm. The basis was already firm.
And who can have firm confidence?
Sotapanna.
So what is when we think that I'm firm enough, not as firm as Sotapanna.
I was wrong to say that at that moment his firmness was second only to the Buddha. It was not. Those Aryans who was already enlightened before him, theirs was firm already. It was more firm. They became Sotapannas and the Arahats and
stage by stage. For example, even the understanding the difference between the Nama and the Rupa, is it firm now? See, we just learn and has firm understanding of understanding only that it has to be that way. But as long as it hasn't happened yet, then it's not as firm as when it's there.
I always appreciate your teaching on Satyayana, Kityayana and Katayana. So when you ask about difference between Nama and Rupa, that's Katayana. So we know that it's not even Satyayana yet, so how can that be?
It, there is satyada as long as you listen to the teachings and see that it's so true.
But Achan, if there cannot, if anatta sanya was is only at the level of what Kunnapatod is saying, then how can patipati arise if there's no anatta sanya?
So satipatthana is the measurement.
So there must be some anatta sanya there at that level.
Enough to condition.
Yes.
Otherwise, who knows whether it's satyana enough yet?
Anatta sanya.
That's knowing anatta. Anatta sanya. Would there not be some degree of anatta sanya? As we hear the teachings and we're told that this arises and falls, this arises and falls. And so intellectually there is knowing. Well, I think there's knowing of the truth of the Dhamma. So is that not some degree of anatta sanya?
It's still something, you know, we're still thinking about
visible object rising
right?
and falling.
It's still something, we don't see that.
I'm not saying that we do, but there is knowing.
Still thinking.
And there
yeah,
is
so
still
it's,
thinking,
it
yes,
is,
yes.
It is requiring thinking, which is already not anatta sanya.
And who still know? Who knows?
Oh, probably me.
Firm enough?
Yeah, very firm. Me is very firm.
My first reaction when I was hearing was thinking along your lines, but then I thought a little further, and then I came to a conclusion that Kunnapatod was saying, but then I thought, but satipatthana is direct understanding. Without anatta sanya, there can't be satipatthana.
To understand object as no atta.
No atta.
So what's the point of listening to the teachings of the Buddha?
To develop understanding.
To consider carefully.
For whom?
Well,
for the sake of understanding.
The sake of understanding.
And understanding what appears, that's the only
mm-hmm. Not
object.
Self, who is even listening. Mm. That is the goal.
Mm. And that's firm.
Mm-hmm. Just to understand the truth. That's not me, not self. If it's to understand the truth, which I have known, is wrong again.
But at least, even if there's that thinking, that can be known, that there is
so
that thinking.
How great and how long Panya develops to that degree. Because usually it's the object of attachment to know more, see?
So what you're saying is a reminder about that the path is about detachment all the way.
Mm-hmm. It has to be like that. No me, no self. Just only for that sake. Not for me.
It seems to be a subtle point there. It can be known that more understanding is needed, but not needed by a self.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a bit tricky.
More difficult to know. That is lobha.
Understanding is needed, including to know what understanding is. That is just a dhamma.
How long will it take?
How do we know?
That's it.
We do
no
not
one
know
knows.
When, but we know that right now it's a lot of ignorance. Even when we're listening, we compare with people during the Buddha's time, listening they get become enlightened. We listen year after year after year. You know, just if we say, yeah, better understanding, only at the intellectual level.
I can't help but thinking at those times when the Buddha was around, that we would be more at an advantage because he would know the best word to say, and that's what I'm considering at the moment. Whereas we've heard all the right things, but I wonder if having the Buddha around would be more helpful.
Maybe it happened. Maybe it happened. How do you know it didn't happen?
I have thought about that. But I think maybe I was just asleep all the time.
It's so stupid.
Because you see, that why do you want to be at that time? What for?
Well,
what he said, just like we have heard. What he said is that we have heard.
Yes,
even
many,
now.
Many times.
If we see him without understanding.
You're saying almost as if he has teached a shortcut. Where he knows something better to say than Acharya. But whatever it is, it's towards the reality now, and that's what Acharya is doing towards what appearing now. And if there were, if there's no wisdom for the person to understand at that moment as object of panya at different levels, then it won't happen. But Acharya, meeting a Buddha itself is result of karma?
Of course.
No difference.
As meeting you, for example, or
not
anyone?
Me, as long as it's still me, it's not the word.
All right, yeah. Hearing the Buddha. But it seems to be a little special if it's the Buddha.
That's why there are Buddha Vinaya and Savaka Vinaya and Dhamma Vinaya.
Can you elaborate on those, Ajahn? What do you mean?
Only Buddha can help you.
Right.
Only him, because
yes.
of accumulation
yes.
to hear from directly from him. Buddha Vinaya. But even Savaka Vinaya, not meeting the Buddha, like Sariputta met Asachi.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
That is the Savaka Vinaya.
Yeah.
And Dhamma Vinaya. Not seeing the Buddha, but still hear his word. The same, actually. No difference. So we can know by oneself. No one can tell us how much understanding one has. For example, as long as there is kun and kun and kun everyone, no moment for the right understanding to slip in and understand that it's just that which you see. See? So one knows by oneself.
That's like in the case of Pacheka Buddhas, that's Dhamma Vinaya.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they understand themselves.
Because any understanding can slip in at any moment by conditions.
Mm-hmm.
To that degree that they can become enlightened or as Sotapanna or Arahata. That's the way to see the Buddha. Not just the seeing his shape, form and that which is seen, but the understanding.
So why is like the Dhamma Vinaya? That's the Dhamma Vinaya, the rules of the monk. So what is it different to the Dhamma Vinaya you talked about now?
Yeah, the Vinaya in that sense means training, like the part of the way. Vinaya means to follow a way.
And
so,
is it different to the Dhamma Vinaya before?
Well,
from before?
It's different in meaning and different in the context.
Why do you say that it's different?
Well, he just said it's different.
Well, it's different in context.
I mean that nobody can change the Vinaya and Dhamma. If anyone thinks that it should change by the time, it's wrong. Because
the Dhamma Vinaya are rules set down by the Buddha?
Well, the word, it's the training here. So like Ajahn mentioned those three different concepts before, the Buddha Vinaya. So because of the training of a Buddha as opposed to a Savaka, Savaka Vinaya, which is through the training of a Savaka, and the Dhamma Vinaya being the training, because the knowledge, the knowing the way of the Dhamma. And you can say that Vinaya is like, which means literally when you talk about Vinaya, we're saying the training rules for a monk. So it's got a slightly different context.
What is Vinaya?
Well, the only Vinaya I know is the book, the training rules that some have read. So,
but what's the real meaning of Vinaya?
I'm not sure.
Doesn't mean to lead out.
Lead out.
To lead out with kusa. Yes, to lead out of kusa. Yes, of course. It means vinati, to lead, to go out, to follow a correct path. Yeah.
Is there Vinaya now?
Occasionally, maybe. I'd like to think, yes.
That's why we have to be rabru in Pariyati. Otherwise, there's doubt here and there.
But it turns sometimes, like for example, what Sundara just talked about, referred to, Buddha Vinaya, Savaka Vinaya, Dhamma Vinaya.
What's that?
I don't know what he. What is that?
No.
Anyway, sometimes we haven't heard. If we haven't heard, then there's no fault in the sense that if we're asked and we don't know the answer. But once an explanation is given, and we don't understand, that's what rabru means, isn't it? For example, if you explain, then only do I need to consider? Do I have started to consider that aspect of the Dhamma? Like for example, we're talking about Vinaya. Even I didn't know the meaning of Vinaya. And if you ask me, what does Vinaya mean? And I say, I don't know. And I've been using Vinaya, but without knowing what it is, but because I've not thought about it, I've only referred to the teachings, and I was thinking to myself before that Vinaya means good behavior and of monks and all that. But that's not an important issue, isn't it? That maybe I didn't know the meaning.
Is there any relation between Vinaya and Sila?
So the question was, is seeing different?
Is
Sila different from?
Reality.
Sila is reality.
So Sila is not different from the way reality is?
No.
So there can be akusala sila, when citta is akusala,
yes,
and kusala sila, and
right,
abhyagata sila.
Right.
And
right,
what about Vinaya?
Yes, they can be all same. It can be, if the meaning is, then it has to be kusala and abhyagata.
What is Vinaya?
Vinaya is the path leading out, that means the good behavior that leads out.
So the point of behave according to Sila is the point of doing or following the Vinaya is?
Is to have good behavior, or we can
what
say
for?
To lead out of samsara, to develop more wholesome.
That's why we have to understand the meaning of Sila and Vinaya, because Sila is even akusala the way it is, because citta, Jetasika, to go on daily, depending on accumulation. So there can be sila, which is akusala sila.
Mm.
And Vinaya is different.
when we talk,
seeing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Mm. No, my question was this, that sometimes we don't know the meaning. And so, for example, I've just heard today about Vinaya means. Not knowing the meaning is not reflection, is not proof
impossible.
That it's not proof that one is my rock guru, because sometimes you've not heard, you may have heard in past lives, but you need to be.
So that is not rock guru, but when it's rock guru, you know the difference between sila and vinaya and
but
dhamma.
But only after you hear, you
that's
cannot
it.
Say before.
That
you
is
heard.
Pariyati, mm. which needs hearing. Without hearing, no understanding of this at all.
Good behavior?
Discipline.
Worldly?
Hmm. What? Like in the soldier discipline?
Is it like someone try to tell you that it's hot? When it hurt you, when it touched the heart.
Mm.
But someone didn't know that.
Mm.
It like to show the what is a gusala or gusala.
Mm. So we are saying that the Vinaya reminds us about what is gusala and what is akusala. So when you read it, you've been reminded about what is akusala behavior, what is gusala behavior.
Is Dhamma Vinaya.
Yes.
No, but Vinaya, Dhamma as the teachings is Vinaya.
As the truth.
But if we're saying that, we can't say that akusala is Vinaya, can we say? Because akusala is also a Dhamma.
So what is the real meaning of Vinaya?
That's what is get out.
When we say unto that, you know, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, and one of them is Nyeya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, we're talking about the Aryans who have gone by their behavior beyond Nyeya Patipanno Bhagavato, the disciples who have gone beyond, you know, the no more rebirth, or they've attained to at least Sotapatti Magga. So we can say they're Nyeya Patipanno, they are accomplished in training.
So is Vinaya different from Dhamma?
No, not in that sense.
We can say that Dhamma is Vinaya, and Vinaya is Dhamma.
I can understand.
There cannot be Vinaya without understanding at all. There cannot be Vinaya.
No, okay.
When there is no understanding.
No, and certainly in that sense when we say Supatipanno Bhagavato and so on like that, because we're talking about enlightened people. Yeah.
So, what is Vinaya?
What's Vinaya is, in that sense, is Dhamma. Everything we hear here is actually understanding Vinaya. Understanding Dhamma is understanding Vinaya.
What is the point of becoming a monk?
To understand.
Why do they have to understand?
Because they see the value of understanding and see the harm of samsara.
Without understanding, there can never be the moment of letting go akusala at all. That's why not just learning and not following the way Buddha taught us to understand the truth. What is kusala and what is akusala? And Vinaya knows what will bring about more kusala moment, which can be accumulated until it can letting go akusala. So the real meaning of Vinaya is that which will bring about the moment of letting go from moment to moment until the Panya attain the degree that it can letting go by different level of understanding, Sotapanna and Sakadagami and Anagami Arahata.
But that's the same with Panya, isn't it?
Dhamma.
Panya is also for letting go.
Mm-hmm. That's why they become monk, because they just want to develop understanding, to see the danger of akusla and to follow the right way. As being a monk.
But does Abhichan, does the
for
these
whom?
Rules, Patimokkha equals the Vinaya? Isn't the big
anything which will lead to the understanding to be able to letting go from moment to moment. So it needs understanding.
It seems the Vinaya is more than the Patimokkha.
For those who see the danger of akusla from hearing the truth. If one does not understand, they do not follow Vinaya because they don't know what should be letting go.
And when you think of those that Ovada Patimokkha, I mean Sabbapapastarakaranam, Sabbapapastarakaranam, Kusalasu Kusamada, Sachitta Pariyodhapan, you know, it's the pure, it's developing the letting go of a kusala, developing kusala, and purifying the mind. That this is the teaching of all Buddhas. So you can see, Patimokkha means literally that which touches freedom. Ultimately, in that very small phrase there, sabbapapassa, it's just about the enlightened individual.
So. Anyone who understands the teachings will follow the teaching, and that is Vidanya. To be able to letting go through words and body and even mind.
That's why we shouldn't consider the Vinaya is for monks only.
No, not at all. For anyone.
Is
the five precept Vinaya. Not for monk only, see? Anyone who understands the teachings. We can have more than 5 or 8 or 10 when we study Vinaya. What Buddha taught bhikkhu to follow is all very beneficial. So we can see that.
But Achan, I'm thinking also, okay, I can understand the five
precepts
are training rules. The word they use is training rules, means that sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail. But the three which Sundara was saying, referring to just now, you were saying avoid kusla.
Oh yeah, it's actually four of them. Sabbapapastarakaranam, so not to do
wrong deeds.
Papa, akusalasa upapastarakaranam, kusalasa upasambada, to take up kusala, sachitta pariyodhapanam, to purify the mind, etana buddhasasanam, that's the teachings of all the Buddhas.
Right, so the teachings of all the Buddhas are these three. Achan, it seems to imply that the purify the mind is important. That means the even avoiding akusla or developing kusla is with understanding.
Because why do we abstain from akusla?
Yes, why?
See, it has to depend on to understand the truth.
So even the precepts, training rules, the first, it's not just to follow the rules, it's to understand.
So people misunderstood. They think that just not to do, just follow. But it is not like that at all. Because no one do, or no one can do anything, but it's all, they are all dhammas, which abstain, virati cetasika. See, so the people who do not understand the teachings, Ritipitaka, with wrong understanding. It's like something that Buddha told them not to do, not to do, not to do, or to follow. But actually, he thought about the truth of everything, that is not you or anyone at all. That's why Dhamma is Vinaya. It takes away from out the wrong understanding. Each word is opposite of wrong understanding. It has to be done with right understanding, not anyone at all.
It's almost like if any of the teachings is followed with wrong understanding, it's destroying the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Or with no understanding, it's destroying the teachings.
Not understanding is the way to destroy the teachings.
Not understanding is the way to destroy.
Each wrong words doesn't bring about right understanding. Follow, need the following. Actually, it's understanding. Each word for understanding. So is there sila now? Kusala or akusala?
Well, there's not enough panya to know if at this moment it's sila, but I would like to think it was.
Because you see that from hearing just one word, we have to think over it until no one at all. So it's not one who can abstain, but the jetasika which abstains, the three viriti jetasika. See, no one. Hearing the teachings means that it will lead to understanding. Actually, there's no self, no one at all. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's useless. The self listening in order to be better self.
Back to those three, do no harm, do good, and purify the mind.
By?
That, well, that is so, in English, that is so like, you know, purify the mind. People think they have to go and
mm-hmm.
clean the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you've really emphasized the fact it must be panya.
They don't understand panya.
No.
So how can they
it
have panya?
It has to be panya every time. Otherwise,
they read
always
with
it
the
comes
idea
back.
Of self. They do according to the self.
Mm.
There
mm.
must be the self for them because they don't know what is anatta. And the core of the teachings of the Buddha is to understand that there's no anatta, there's no atta. All dhammas are anatta. Otherwise, it's useless to read and to gain knowledge as I. It's wrong. It means that there is no understanding when there is the idea of self.
And sometimes, Ajahn, we talk about kusala of other levels, even when it's not panya being. I mean, you often refer to.
But panya knows that it's not that level of understanding.
Right. But and you talk about being barami of barami. But the point is here is that still, if there's right understanding, kusala or akusala, everything has to be understood.
As not self.
As not self.
This is the point of the teachings of the Buddha. That because that is the truth, the absolute truth.
So, I was having a look at Nina's new reprint of Perfections, the Paramis, and part of it sort of says that the development of understanding can't develop without the Paramis. So it was almost saying these Paramis have to be developed before this understanding, but that's...
No.
That's not right, is it?
I mean, can we say, Ajahn, that they go together and paramis are not paramis without understanding anyway?
That's probably where I... Yeah, they're only paramis
when
there is
understanding.
Understanding.
Right. But we know that those particular kusala dhammas support understanding. And why these particular dhammas and not others, for example, compassion is not a barami? Because I don't know why. But
I thought you were
going to
give a good answer.
I don't know why. But we do know that these particular dhammas lead one out of samsara. Is that the meaning?
Because you see that alopa is metta.
Yes.
How can we have alopa? No lopa. When there is understanding that there is no self, no matter the one who give or the one who receive, only dhammas. Without understanding the anatomness of everything, it's impossible to have more kusala.
And I think, I mean, I don't know if it's by accident, but I think the first one is dana. And that has to, you know, if you can't give precious possessions away, it was saying that it's really more difficult to give away the idea of me.
Mm-hmm.
But that must go.
And I've heard it, and there's also talked before about dana being the easiest compared to sila, something like that. I mean, I don't know if I'm correct in remembering this, but it seems to be saying that sila is more difficult than dana.
Because each moment is sila, but akusla sila. In a day, how many moments or how many drops of sila comes in?
That's a good way to put it. So what you're saying, Achan, is that because in a day we are accumulating so much more of akusla sila, that's why sila is... Yeah, okay.
That's why it needs parami to not having more akusala.
Just on that point,
Just sila, it's behavior. The meaning sila is behavior. So it's the behavior of jitta.
Always akusala.
Always. Well, 99.9% of the day is.
Just on that point there, that Kunzu Kin made, John. Kuruna, why? I'm just thinking about that now, so I'd like you to elaborate. Why there isn't karuna in the parami?
Okay. If you don't have metta to that person, you cannot help. Sometimes you just want to help or to give, but when you have dosa, you will not give at that moment, but can later on. So you see that if you have now metta to be understanding person, to seeing the moment of dukkha, it can happen to anyone. If you can help, could you help? It depends on metta at that moment. If you don't like that person, you don't care or you don't mind to do anything for that person at all. But when you have metta, there can be karuna to help. For example, you give, but at that moment, he behaved not so good. So later, you can keep that thing to give until there is metta.
So you're saying here, John, that metta and karuna are very much together,
mm-hmm.
really, all the time.
And it's
not all the time.
Well,
and it is at dosa.
So we're talking about, because that is one of the one Anya Samanyas. This is one of those jada seekers.
Adosa Cheta Seeker.
I'm just trying to think of the classification. Anyway, it's probably not so helpful. So it's Adosa Cheta Seeker, of course.
Because Karuna is Karuna Cheta Seeker, Mudita is Mudita Cheta Seeker.
Yes.
But Metta is Adosa.
So all I've heard is that you're saying that Metta, without Metta, there cannot be Karuna. That I understand, it shows that metta is more important in that respect. But
when there is still dosa, you cannot karuna. You want that person to have more than just the situation of being dukkha.
But instead of dosa, you can have karuna.
But there must be adosa.
There must be adosa. Mm-hmm.
Which is metta. Will you metta the person who did very, very bad behaving? See?
It can happen.
As long as there is dosa, you want that person to be worse than that. Not enough, see, one would say.
Then I can understand that more opportunities for metta than karuna in a day, because anytime there can be metta, whereas karuna, it has to be with the idea that the other person, the other being is suffering.
But why some help and some doesn't help? Always help?
Many things, chanta also can be, viriya.
But about when there is dosa?
Dosa is dosa. It's
you help?
No.
See? So there must be metta or dosa. No dosa at that moment. Otherwise, there cannot be karuna.
Ajahn, can we say that karuna is a more refined aspect of metta? More refined?
Only when that person was in trouble.
The perception has to be that the other being is suffering or in trouble.
So today, now, here, it's time for metta or karuna.
It's metta.
See? What about this person who is so bad? Would you like them to be punished or imprisoned? Or it depends on karma. You don't have to do anything at all. Otherwise, you collect, accumulate more akusala. See? It depends on panya.
And if you think someone is bad and you can have
karuna.
Think about karuna, you can have ubeka also.
It depends. And what is more strong or better? Aman, ubeka. Because understanding that no need to do or to hate or to dislike. What is better is even so, that better have metta than dosa. So would you like to have to help the bad person? See, no metta, no karuna.
Well, I was thinking, you know, at a time when you see somebody doing something really terrible, there can be metta and compassion, because you know that somewhere that person will receive horrible things happening if they're doing something really bad. They will receive a result somewhere.
And
so you can have compassion and metta there and then.
Yeah, and no matter who and when, everyone needs to have metta.
Everyone you see.
Like metta from the other.
Yes.
But in a way, Ajahn, if thinking along those lines, everyone needs karuna also. Because
while
you know
are happy?
That, huh?
While you are happy?
No, I mean, even because it's akusala, people are accumulating a lot of akusala. Even if they're happy, they're accumulating a lot of attachment. So it's not good.
Mm-hmm. So you have karuna even for the rich one?
Yes,
the,
can be.
That's the way my Buddha teach to everyone, not only to the one who has trouble. That's why we use Pramaha Karuna. Because he always have metta. What about the person in trouble? The person who's in trouble.
Thank you. So if no metta, karuna cannot arise.
Because
that's why metta is palami.
Because metta is atosa.
I still don't understand. I understand that metta is more important. Without metta, there cannot be karuna. But still, why karuna is not barami? I don't know.
That's why.
It doesn't.
Metta karuna cannot arise.
Yeah,
so,
but why not both?
So if no metta, karuna can't.
You know, what would I say?
Lemon, lemon.
You know what Buddha said? Let's go and ask Buddha when you will be born and be able to see him. We have to understand how much we can understand the words of the Buddha. Not very easy at all.
The Buddha was also known as Mahakarunika.
No, I was talking with Azita last Saturday about the Buddha's Kusala, and I was trying to express here, which I didn't do so well, about the difference between the Savaka and the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, Savaka Bodhisattva and the Sammasambuddha Bodhisattva. There's a big difference in that, you know, when we have some understanding about the danger of samsara, our first reaction is just to get out. The Buddha was ready in many lives to be out, but his compassion was so great. It's because of his compassion he went for another many kapas.
But it would have had to have metta as well.
That's what I suggested.
Sorry,
that was in a different context. But it's actually, at that time, it expresses karuna. Expresses karuna because it's seeing the suffering of beings.
And when I hear that, I always still think that there has to be motivated by a lot of metta too behind that. There has to be metta.
We don't think like that.
But
we cannot think like that, you know.
Why?
No, that like the Buddha, to have compassion and then.
But what Achan was saying before, it's metta is adosa. So if you have some irritation towards somebody.
I'm talking about that situation where the Buddha didn't become a savaka, enlightened as a savaka, but he had to go for another four countless
four sankhyas.
Yeah, this thing. We wouldn't think. Ajahn, we wouldn't think. We just see so much pointless in living and. We don't, not to say that we think about ourselves, but it's just not thinking about others before us. The Buddha think about others before himself. That's the difference.
Because usually then it was always object to have karuna towards that object. But there can be metta any day, any time. That's why it is parami, daily parami.
That word asankhya, sankhya just means it can be calculated. So asankhya is, it's just uncountable.
Unthinkable. How long?
Yeah. And then they add four asankhyas. I think it has got so many noughts after it, so many noughts. And then it's got 100,000 kapas.
I just realized something. Unthinkable. Why it's said it's unthinkable? Because we tend to think that it's going to happen at some point, but it's actually long. We cannot afford to think that it's longer than that, because there's so much attachment that we can only think that up to a certain point, right? Like even if I thought about how many uncountable. It will still be a limit at some time there. But it's actually even longer than that.
And it's endless.
It's
unthinkable.
Uncountable. So it's not even worth thinking about.
Yes.
Because
I'm saying no matter how we think, we're thinking with attachment. That's what I'm saying. No matter what we think about how difficult it is, we're not really understanding how much it is really.
Yeah, and it's the same when you speak of the Buddha's, you know, compassion.
Yes,
I can't even imagine
right.
a Buddha.
It's more than what we can imagine.
It's much, much, much more.
It's more than what we can imagine.
I just can't think about it. Just I know it's great.
So how much we can understand, but we always think about that which cannot be understood at all.
Yes, we do. Though.
And that shows how little we understand.
Yeah.
And we keep talking.
Each drop of kusala accumulated when there's understanding.
It really points to me, Ajahn, how powerful punya must be, because there has been so much akusala that has been accumulated. It seems amazing to me that punya can eradicate that over billions of lives.
How
even,
great.
Or even eradicate, or even erase. That's
a good point, yeah. Yeah, even erase.
And this is the best way to worship the parami of the Buddha.
The best way to worship.
Understanding, talking about the truth, about how much understanding no one can think about is understanding. So much. And this moment is parami.
I was watching a little fly before. When Metta poured the water in, he flew around and then went in. I thought, oh, he's going, I tried to lift it. I mean, oh, he's going to drown. But all it did was come right to the edge, and I think it was drinking some water. So it stayed there, head down, and then it crawled back up and flew away. So I was sharing my water with a little creature.
Metta, karuna. You
well.
Can see the difference between metta, see, and tulsa.
Yes.
From the words of the Buddha. Each word is to understand what's now.
I was reading in the library yesterday, and I need just this mano dhatu, mano vinyana dhatu, and pancha vinyana dhatu, and I always get them mixed up. So they're jitters, and pancha vinyana dhatu are the jitters that arise before, for example.
Vinyana is chakku vinyana, sota vinyana.
Ah, so they're the five.
Yes.
Okay. So pancha, the five, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Mano dhatu is the it's a jitta that is the mind door. What is mano dhatu?
That's why we have to understand what are those mano dhatu.
Mano dhatu is applied to the two types of sampatichana and five door adverting. Pancha dwara vachana.
Why it's mano dhatu? We have to understand each word.
Well, dhatu is an dhatu means element. Mano is applied to two types of risk. I'm really confused about these.
So, what are mano dhatu again?
Two types of receiving, or two types of paticca, sampaticcana,
and
the five door adverting,
pancha
dwara vachana.
Why are they mano dhatu? There must be a reason why.
Why are they mano dhatu?
They can experience the five sense door, but they cannot see. So panchatvara vachana and sampatichana are different from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, but all of them needs the five senses to be their doorways.
So panchatvara vachana jittas arise
cannot experience the objects through mind door. Those who cannot experience the objects through mind door are mano dhatu. But they are not the thing, chakku vinyana, sota vinyana. So we can understand them as not self, better and better from hearing and understanding, that no one can do or quite arrange, can change anything at all, because of the Adama, uncontrollable, the way it is by conditions. Because each citta has the anantarapajaya, as soon as it falls away, it conditions the next one immediately. Only parinibbana moment cannot have this pajaya at all. So there must be reason why they are manotatu, because they do not arise at the sakku pasatha, sota pasatha. They have to arise at hataya rupa and can experience only 5 dhammas. Even they arise that, but they need only 5 sensa, 5 dvara to arise. While the santirna can experience through my door, but not performing the function of santirana. That's why santirana have 5 functions. In order to understand it, the more we understand, the more no self is there. It brings about understanding that there cannot be anyone who can do anything. They are all dhammas. They have their own characteristic, their own function, their own manifestation, and the main proximate cause.
So you, a moment ago, mentioned santirana.
Santirana can experience object through mind or
as well as sense.
They are different from these three.
Okay.
Sometimes it seems a better decision to leave some things for future lives to understand, because you can't understand, we just so you know, sometimes we're so caught up in word meaning that, and those particular dhammas don't even appear in daily life, but they can be understood, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. So what the way to really understand is just to understand what appears little by little.
But I think Ajahn too has pointed out to us that by considering carefully, it can become a little bit more clearer. Because
what is becoming more clear?
Those aspects there that
you cannot. There's no control over any of this,
and
it points to it points. It points clearly to why there is no control.
And I think if there's a better,
you have a look on your face that says I doubt.
Okay, go on.
I'm just saying. I mean, I appreciate Zita asking that question, because I've often still not entirely clear. It's becoming clearer though between Dhamma Dhatu, Manuvijnana Dhatu, and Manu Dhatu. They're not so clear. There have been times when they have been clearer. So I appreciate Zita asking them again. And the way Ajahn is explaining it and what she's talked about earlier today is that the firmer the understanding of pariyatti is, although this doesn't entirely relate to that kind of understanding, it can provide a foundation, because there's more of there's an appreciation that it's can help to understand the non-self of everything. But I think it's important to have a good intellectual understanding of these areas. I think I can hear what you're saying, I can almost hear you thinking, but I think it's really helpful, and especially what Ajahn has said, that by thinking carefully ourselves, you can begin to understand these matters. They're not beyond thinking carefully, and why that's so, like Ajahn was talking about earlier today, that one of the first questions I asked about is why people think, oh, there must be something I can do. And Ajahn said, let them think it out for themselves. And I think that's part of that, what she's encouraging us to do here is consider it carefully, and then it will become clearer.
Ajahn, for me, hearing about these things can be a reminder that all dhammas, and it must be now, arise by conditions beyond control. Each one has a different function, manifestation, proximate cause, and characteristics. seeing is not the same as santivrana, not the same as sampatichanna, not the same as manodvara, vachana, chitta, all are different. But still, to understand a dhamma as anatta, it's only through understanding what appears, isn't it?
Because just three words is not enough. It needs more and more.
Can I just read out? This was before that. Dhatu is derived from da, to hold, to bear. That which carries its own characteristic mark is dhatu. They are so called since they are devoid of being or life. So I thought that was, that's from Narada's Abhidhamma.
If one just remember, no understanding, it cannot bring.
There is that you can learn all this, you can read these
like,
books.
It makes
logical sense when you explain the meaning of manodvara, manodhatu and manovinyana dhatu and all that, showing the difference in explanation. There's a level of appreciation that it's not the same. It's referring to different things.
Different dhammas.
But still, it's nowhere close to understanding their nature. I mean, it's still thinking about them.
But it will be conditioned. Otherwise, without this moment of understanding, it's impossible to have conditions for right awareness to arise. The more understanding, theoretically, it will condition to have moment of sati arising, and very natural and expectation.
And I think it shows different accumulations too,
mm-hmm.
because I can hear what you're saying. I understand that you don't find it that interesting. But I love reading, and I like going to that library in Asok. And I just write, I sit there and write forever. Sometimes I write and then I never read it again, but I'm encouraging myself to read what I've written, and it really is very deep, the Abhidhamma.
We do have
but
the Pitaka here as well.
Yes.
But regardless of accumulations, it comes back to, for each person, what appears now.
It's so quiet.
Ajahn?
So now we have a little more conditions for awareness.
It must be, if Panya has arisen, it has to work its way. As Sundara was reminding, Panya is very powerful. So if even little is very helpful.